I was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania in 1958, and I was raised in an immediate family that was not religious. My maternal grandmother was, however, a devout Catholic, and my grandfather had the good sense to keep his mouth shut about that. But my grandmother was so devout that I very much suspect that while babysitting me and my brothers, she secretly had us baptized. At least I hope so, as the prospect of burning in hell forever is of little appeal to me, even if I do live in the cold of Maine. In the early 1970s, when I was a preen or a young teen, my family's blissful agnosticism came to something of a quiet end. My father was a history professor at Queens College, now Queens University in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was invited to give a talk on history at the Charlotte Friends or Quaker meeting. My father accepted the invitation, and on the appointed day, my father, my two brothers, my stepmother, and the two family collies, and I walked to what was for all of us our very first Quaker meeting. The meeting consisted of an hour of silent worship followed by a one-hour forum, which is what my father led on that day. Thankfully, there was also a Sunday school, which bore a formal name that I no longer remember. Had there been no Sunday school, it's very possible me and my very active brothers and I would have perished long before the hour-long silent worship was over. And so began our long, years-long relationship with Charlotte Friends Meeting. And I became an official member, the only one in my family to do so. Throughout this time, my brothers and I enthusiastically partook of the Friends Meeting youth activities. We regularly went to films and restaurants, with rock concert films being the group's favorite genre. And we loved that our boisterous group had been asked by every restaurant we visited to please not come back. Every restaurant might be a little bit inaccurate, but not much. During that time, my brothers and I also attended Quaker summer camp in the oddly named North Carolina town of Climax. We loved Quaker Lake Camp, and to this day, I still harbor fond memories of those days. The Charlotte Friends Meeting was pretty light on formal religion, as you might imagine. As you may know, most Quakers, what I call modern Quakers, are pretty light on formal religion. But my very rudimentary understanding is that there are some old-style Quakers who are quite heavy on formal religion, but they are relatively few in number. Sadly, the city of Charlotte declared eminent domain over the Quakers' relatively central meeting house, and the meeting rather unwisely moved to a house on the edge of Charlotte, where the meeting was much less accessible to walkers and cyclists. Youth participation fell off dramatically, as did that of our family, and soon thereafter, I left Charlotte to be an exchange student in Denmark. In Denmark, I attended with my host family the relatively small Lutheran church of Nørrelundelse. I still struggle to pronounce that town. But the small town that we lived in. But we attended only on major religious holidays. And since then, I have attended a few friends' meetings here and there, including a few visits to the historic Manhattan Quaker Meeting House, built in 1818 and unparalleled in its beautiful simplicity. So that is the story of my life inside the realm of formal or semi-formal religion. But that neglects much of my actual, real spiritual journey. I was raised by not one but two history professors, both of them deeply political. The year after I was born, my father was fired from his teaching job at George Washington University for having been a member of the Communist Party while in graduate school at Harvard. And my father was hauled before the infamous House on American Activities Committee, where he refused to cooperate with the committee's witch hunt. My mother sat beside my father as he testified, and my older brother Peter and I sat on my mother's knees. And just so you know, when my parents passed away, I wrote articles about them, and they are available on the back table there if you wish to take a copy of them with you. On November 15, 1969, I attended the Vietnam moratorium protest in Washington with 500,000 of my best friends. And Peter, Paul, and Mary performed, hence a song by Peter, Paul, and Mary that we're going to have in just a moment. I was 11 years old, and I rode to that protest from my then home in Charlotte, North Carolina, with my best friend, Ben Beidler, and his family. 4 years before that protest, in 1965, Ben's father, Norman Morrison, immolated himself outside the Pentagon in protest over the Vietnam War. So that was our family religion. That was our spirituality, politics. And I would argue that politics contain more spirituality than might readily meet the eye, at least for my family. That's because at the root of my parents and later my politics is a basic, profound belief that in a world of plenty, all people should be able to live lives of justice and dignity and free of want. All people, every last one of them. And in a modern society that cannot be accomplished through private charity, it can only be achieved by government and progressive taxation. And that, to me, is the very essence of any spirituality worth its salt: justice, dignity, and freedom from want. That is as spiritual as anything out there, as anything on, well, God's green earth. Without that, there is a spiritual vacuum, a spiritual black hole. And that is how I have tried to live my life. I have spent much of my adult life working with immigrants, farm workers, refugees, the poor, and the working poor. And much of that work was done 20 miles from here at Home Co-op in Orland, Maine. But perhaps more important, I have lived with those populations, and that's where the real spirituality lies. There is no substitute for it. This has all led to a rich, full life. It has also led to an adventurous life, and I am a keen believer in adventure. I pray at the altar of adventure. And perhaps my favorite quote was penned by none other than committed socialist Helen Keller. She said that life is a great adventure or it is nothing. That, in a nutshell, is my spiritual journey to date. And I will leave you with one final thought. For 40 years, my spiritual journey has been deepened and enhanced by my tithing. That is to say, by giving away 10% of my income. I got that idea from the Mormons, many of whom tithe. This practice has enriched my life in many ways that I consider spiritual, and I would encourage others to try it for the good of the recipient and the donor. In closing, I thank you very much for your time and attention. It has been an honor to stand before you today. Thank you.